Greetings and welcome to the Gloucester Daily Times for Thursday, April 9th, 2026, brought to you by the Talking Information Center, located in beautiful Marshfield, Massachusetts. This is your reader, George Krein. Today's lead story, Asbestos Find Halts Housing Project. It's written by Bobby Grady. Demolition at 20 Main Street to make way for a 24-unit apartment and commercial building has been halted after asbestos was discovered last Thursday. The building, once a bank and the former home of Fisherman's Outfitter, is being torn down to construct a 24-unit apartment building with a 1,000-square-foot retail space and 26 parking spaces. The property is owned by Accurate Realty Management, LLC, whose manager, Mark Gattineri, oversees six properties in Gloucester. Gloucester Building Commissioner Robert Vicari said representatives from the State Department of Environmental Protection were at the job site as the building was being torn down when officials noticed black roofing cement on the outside of the chimney. Vicari said the material was tested and asbestos fibers were discovered. Demolition is on pause until all covered asbestos remaining material can be removed. The type of asbestos discovered is not airborne, so there is no public health threat to those at nearby businesses and restaurants, according to Vicari. Vicari said the inside of the building was tested for asbestos prior to demolition and no evidence of it was found. The building was built in 1985, and I don't think the contractors realized that the roofing cement could have asbestos in it. The inside of the building tested fine. They just missed the outside, Vicari said. Moving forward, an abatement company will have to come in and remove any contaminated rubble. Demolition, bear with me a second, will continue afterward. The city issued a statement Wednesday afternoon saying, "We have been in continued communication with supervisors at MassDEP, and they have confirmed that the situation is under control. Specifically, they said the project has complied with the order, work has stopped, and the materials have all been covered appropriately so the site is stable. At this time, the property owner is working with DEP to file the necessary plans, including the cleanup plan," the statement continues. "There were no issues identified on the city's end, and there is no action required by the city at this time. Our top priority is safety, and we are confident that MassDEP shares this." Opinions on whether the project benefits or hurts the city have been split since the city council narrowly approved it in 2024 by a 5-4 vote during a November 26, 2024 meeting. Those in favor argued at the meeting that the project brings much-needed affordable housing to the city. Developers proposed making 3 of the 24 units available to those making 60% of the area median income or less, and 1 available to those making 80% or less. And while those against it agreed the city needs more affordable housing, they argued the project would only make congestion and traffic downtown worse. Concerns about a retaining wall in the property were also raised. I remember that article that the Times had. At the 2024 City Council meeting, Derba Eliasson, the attorney representing the property owners, said structural engineers have said the wall is structurally sound and only in need of minor repairs. The new building would operate separately from the wall, and the two would be separated by a distance of 6 to 8 feet, except where the wall juts out. At that point, there would only be about 8 inches between the wall and the staircase, but portions of the wall could be removed for repairs if necessary. The City Council's Planning and Development Standing Committee did put a condition on the project, stating the wall would be inspected every 3 years, and the property owner would be responsible for its maintenance. Project is still in litigation, and Eliasson declined to comment. Board backing seasonal designation. It's written by Stephen Hagan. Rockport. 3 planning options to be presented to town meeting on Saturday have the backing of the planning board. Last week, the planning board unanimously okayed 4-0 its, quote, report and recommendations to annual town meeting, in which it expresses that town meeting approve articles L, M, and N. In total, those attending annual meeting will consider a 24-article warrant. The annual meeting starts at 8:30 a.m. April 11th at Rockport High School at 24 Jordan's Lane. Doors to the school will open at 7:45 for voter check-in. Article L will ask the town to accept designation as a, quote, seasonal community by the State Executive Office of Housing and Livable Communities. Such communities have a substantial variation in seasonal employment, a high rate of short-term rentals in relation to overall housing, a significant population increase in seasonal visitors, and disparities between the area median income and income needed to buy a home. The designation provides for an increase in the property tax exemption for homes considered the owner's primary residence. According to the state, seasonal communities may acquire year-round housing occupancy restrictions and develop housing with a preference for municipal workers so that public safety personnel, teachers, public works employees, and other town employees can afford a place to live. The measure establishes a year-round housing trust fund to create and preserve affordable and attainable housing for residents. It also calls for the creation of housing for artists and permits the construction of so-called tiny homes for use as year-round housing. Articles M and N would both amend the Code of Bylaws, Section 400-16, regarding protected use accessory dwelling units. If town meeting approves the seasonal community designation, then the ADU amendment in Article M would restore a six-month lease minimum. If, on the other hand, the voters do not approve of the designation, then the ADU bylaw in Article N would continue to have the 31-day minimum lease period. Betsy Ware, that's W-A-R-E, the consulting planner for the planning board, said a recording of a recent informational session about planning matters, including the seasonal community designation, is available online at Rockport's website. Ware said she intends to create a document detailing housing matters in Rockport, including questions relating to accessory dwelling units, ADUs, and the creation of tiny homes. During the Planning Board's March 24 informational session, Board Chair Jason Shaw told those gathered about possible next steps if town meeting accepts the designation. Shaw said the state has recently offered the seasonal communities designation and other zoning tools to provide more flexibility in planning. But he said the measure still needs a positive vote from town meeting. Massachusetts has been trying to bring down the cost of housing in the Commonwealth, he said. It's very high, especially in the eastern part of the state. The cost of housing here in Rockport is one of the highest costs outside the Boston metro area. The Planning Board has oversight over all subdivisions, plus it administers the subdivision bylaw, oversees land reallocations, protects wetlands and watersheds, and also reviews site plans related to the town's zoning bylaws. In addition, the board has the primary responsibility for the writing of zoning bylaws, which must be approved by town meeting. House bans social media for young teens. It's written by Christian Wade, State House reporter, Boston. The State House of Representatives has approved legislation to ban social media use for children under age 14 and set tough statewide restrictions on cell phones and public schools. The Democratic-led proposal, which passed 129-25 Wednesday on a largely party-line vote, would require Facebook, Instagram, and other social media platforms to block users 14 and younger. The companies will be required to get, quote, verifiable parental consent for users age 14 or 15 and give parents access to data and content submitted by minors. The bill will protect children from harmful content and addictive algorithms, and ensure that our students are able to focus in the classroom without the distraction of cell phones, House Speaker Ron Mariano, a Quincy Democrat, said ahead of the vote. Social media companies are increasingly blamed for rising rates of depression, suicide, and other mental health issues among youth nationally. In response, states and local governments are increasingly considering legislation and legal action to crack down on social media use. Parent groups, including Parents Collective Incorporated and Phone Free Action, are pressuring states and the federal government to approve the bans. Governor Mara Healey's office announced earlier this week that she would be holding a briefing Tuesday to unveil new social media regulations, but the event was abruptly canceled. No reason was given by her staff members. Attorney General Andrea Campbell is among a bipartisan group of 42 attorneys general suing Meta and other social media outlets, alleging features on Facebook and Instagram are addictive and aimed at kids and teens. It is critical that we hold tech companies accountable for designing social media platforms that keep young people addicted and wreak havoc on their mental health, Campbell said in a statement. I am grateful that the legislature is taking this issue seriously, and I look forward to working with them on next steps. The bill will require school districts to educate students in age-appropriate ways about the responsible use of social media, including potential harms to emotional and mental health and bullying. While the proposal will require social media platforms to provide data submitted by teens to their parents if requested, it would prohibit the companies from sharing information about a minor's LGBTQ plus status with them. The House bill also seeks to restrict smartphone use during the school day by requiring districts to ban students from using personal electronic devices during school hours. The State Department of Elementary and Secondary Education would be directed to provide statewide guidance for implementing the bell-to-bell ban. The proposal also calls for a pilot program in 10 school districts to test technology that makes students' smartphones and other electronic devices inoperable on school grounds during the school day. The Senate approved a similar bell-to-bell cell phone ban last year, but didn't include a social media ban. Differences between both bills would need to be worked out by the negotiators before a final version heads to Healey's desk. If the legislation is approved, Massachusetts would join a growing number of states, including New Hampshire, California, Florida, and New York, to ban or restrict cell phones in schools, part of a broader effort to remove classroom distractions for students as concerns about their mental health mount. At least 80% of Massachusetts school districts already have some type of cell phone restrictions in place, according to the Massachusetts Association of School Superintendents. Angel gets its wings. Museum reinstalls Hancock sculpture. It's written by Gail McCarthy. A 13-foot plaster model of a Walker Hancock statue has risen again in the newly renovated lower atrium of the Cape Ann Museum's downtown campus as the 150-year-old cultural institution begins to put artworks back into place as it prepares to reopen June 30th. The fragile plaster of Paris prototype for Hancock's Pennsylvania Railroad War Memorial, also referred to as the Angel of the Resurrection, was gently lifted back into place between two towers of scaffolding as it was reinstalled by several workers under the guidance of sculptor and conservator Robert Shore. Born in St. Louis, Hancock, who lived from 1901 to 1998, one of the celebrated World War II monuments men, would later make Gloucester his home. The actual 39-foot bronze sculpture, commissioned by the Pennsylvania Railroad as a World War II memorial, is located on the main concourse at Philadelphia's 30th Street Station, one of the country's busiest railway stations. Considered one of Hancock's most important works, the memorial depicts the Archangel Michael lifting a lifeless soldier in his arms, with a base bearing the names of more than 1,300 railroad employees who died in the war. During the reinstallation on Wednesday, first the main body of the angel was raised, followed by reattaching the angel's wings and sealing the seams during the delicate operation. This is the start of the work taking place as the galleries will begin to be filled with displays, artwork, archival materials, and much more after the $9 million 20-month renovation of the museum's Pleasant Street campus. Shore had overseen the deinstallation of the Hancock sculpture in October 2024 prior to the construction work. Hancock, a longtime friend and advisor to Cape Ann Museum, had a notable career, which included the Stone Mountain Memorial in Georgia. His subjects have included Presidents George Bush, Abraham Lincoln, and James Madison, Vice Presidents Hubert Humphrey and Gerald Ford, poet Robert Frost, and General Douglas MacArthur. His works grace the Library of Congress, West Point, the Great Americans Hall of Fame, and the National Cathedral, according to a Cape Ann Museum bio. Besides repopulating the galleries with its collections, museum staff are preparing the groundbreaking special exhibition Avery, Gottlieb, and Rothko by the Sea, The exhibition also opens June 30th, and it's the first time in Cape Ann Museum's 151-year history that one of its exhibitions will travel to Washington, D.C., to the Phillips Collection, which partnered with Gloucester's Museum to showcase the exhibition more widely to new audiences. For more information, you can visit capeannmuseum.org. Mechanical failure leaves 5,000-pound mooring block hanging. Manchester by the Sea. It was an operation unlike any faced by the town's public safety officials. On Tuesday morning, adjacent to Manchester Harbor, a 5,000-pound mooring block became stuck in the air, suspended after the delivery truck attempting to move it into place had a mechanical failure. Fire Chief James Jake McNeely said due to the significant weight of the mooring block and the potential hazard posed by the situation, it was critical to ensure the scene at Moore's Pier in Masconomo Park was stabilized quickly. It was determined to lower the mooring block to protect the public safety, he said. It was a unique situation for us to be part of a situation like that. All hands were on deck. The Manchester Police and Fire Departments, Manchester Harbor Master Brian Pike, and also crews from Tally's Towing of Gloucester and Cody's Towing of Lawrence. Pike said the hydraulic system on the delivery truck failed, which left the mooring block suspended in the air. The response, Pike said, took about 2 hours and also involved assistance provided by a wrecker from Cody's Towing. The goal was to get the mooring down to the ground, said Pike. The truth is equipment fails. Things break. I've seen equipment failures before, but nothing like this. McNeely said the response called for the coordination of area officials. With truck repairs expected to take several days, the fire department responded to support our partners and help secure the equipment in a safe manner, said McNeely. While this type of operation may not always be highly visible to the public, it reflects the strong coordination that takes place every day between local departments and service providers. McNeely said fire officials used their ladder truck to assist in the situation. Pike said the company that delivered the mooring block did a good job responding to the situation. There wasn't an immediate risk to anyone, but I felt this was a wise decision, Pike said. The right decision was made. I'd like to thank the fire department. We couldn't have done it without them. McNeely said the cooperation exhibited during the response ensured the potential hazards at the scene were addressed quickly and efficiently. Public safety remains our top priority, and we appreciate the teamwork and professionalism demonstrated by everyone involved in this incident. Rockport Poetry Festival has a global flair. It's run by Gail McCarthy. The tiny seaside town of Rockport will host a global community of poets during the 9th annual Rockport International Poetry Festival from April 17 to 19. April is National Poetry Month, and Cape Ann's flourishing creative community is flush with many poets. All festival venues are free to the public during the 3 days when events will be live at local venues with in-person programs and also virtual events. There are two contests that have an entry deadline of Sunday, April 12th. The festival kicks off with Reggie Gibson, Poet Laureate of Massachusetts, on Friday, April 17 at 6 p.m. at the Rockport Community House at 8 Broadway. Gibson drew a standing room only crowd last fall at Sawyer Free Library. On Saturday, April 18, the day begins with a poetry workshop at 10:15 a.m. at the Rockport Art Association and Museum at 12 Main Street. From there, a short walk away, a day of programs will take place at Rockport Public Library, 17 Main Street. Bridging cultures through poetry. One of the main library events is Saturday, April 18th at 12:30 p.m. when American poet Jennifer Jean and Iraqi artist Gufran Yusuf, both who now live in Salem, will read from Other Paths for Shahrazad, an Arabic-English anthology of contemporary poetry by Arab women. The anthology title refers to the legendary storyteller Shahrazad, also known as Scheherazade, the narrator of The Thousand and One Nights, folk tales also known as Arabian Nights. Also, if you want more information on the festival, you can. The link is Rockport Poetry, all one word, at gmail.com. Two poetry contests are underway in conjunction with the event. The first is a Cape Ann poetry contest, which is open to anyone in Rockport, Gloucester, Essex, and Manchester-by-the-Sea. There are five categories, starting with fourth graders and extending to senior citizens. Entry deadline is this Sunday, April 12th. Poems can be sent by email to rockportpoetry@gmail.com. And also note Cape Ann Poetry Contest in the subject line. The second is an international haiku poetry contest, also with a Sunday deadline. Entries need to be on separate sheets, a Word doc or PDF, with no identifying information. Personal information will be in the body of the email sent to rockportpoetry@gmail.com. An entry fee of $3 per haiku can be sent by PayPal to the same email address. For more information, you can also visit the Rockport Poetry Festival Facebook page. Here's an editorial from the Times. Take a moment to mark National Local News Day. Today around the nation, media outlets like the Gloucester Daily Times are recognizing the first National Local News Day. We would like you to mark the occasion with us by taking a moment to appreciate the value of independent journalism and its vital role in our country as laid out in the First Amendment of the Constitution. Quoting now, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The importance of this amendment is reinforced by its very position in America's guiding document, It Comes First. At its core, the First Amendment demands that our country remains a free, democratic society by protecting individual liberty, ensuring government accountability, and promoting the open exchange of ideas. When it comes to the press, that means the ability to undertake watchdog journalism, retain access to public records and meetings, and other important functions that allow us to deliver information that is free from agendas, ulterior motives, or the pressure to spread propaganda. Local news like that delivered through the Gloucester Daily Times drills down to the most close-to-home information you can receive. Big media won't be bothered with your select board, city council, police department, or public schools. It's not big media's job. That's our job. Want to know who's running for office? Who will graduate as valedictorian at your local high school? Where your tax dollars are being spent? As your official paper of record, the Gloucester Daily Times is responsible for making sure you get that information and more in a fair, accurate, and timely manner. New this year, National Local News Day is led by a coalition of journalists, nonprofit leaders, and media innovators that began with the Montana Free Press, the American Journalism Project, Press Forward, and many more respected organizations. It's meant to be a time of action to reconnect people to trusted local outlets, empower newsrooms to grow, and spark a national movement that sustains local news for generations to come. It's no secret that newspapers are struggling as they receive increased competition, much of it from social media-based, biased, and illegitimate fake news sources. But the fact remains that a strong local newspaper with trained professionals remains vital to the success of any community. When newspapers fold, they create news deserts. That's a ripe atmosphere for unethical officials to run roughshod over an uninformed public. We won't let that happen here. In addition to acting as your community watchdogs, we deliver a cornucopia of news you can't get elsewhere, and we provide a forum through which you can help shape our towns and cities by engaging with us through letters to the editor, op-eds, news tips, and other means. We have more options than ever for communicating. Whereas, once all our news was delivered in the newspaper with a hard deadline, today we are a 24/7 online operation along with printed newspapers and magazines. All of this, of course, comes back to the importance of National Local News Day and the role you play as a reader and subscriber when you invest in our work. Your subscription keeps our reporters in the field, our editors directing them, and our editorial board formulating opinions. Meanwhile, our investment supports the intentions of the founders by doing our small part in the nationwide effort to uphold the First Amendment. Thank you for helping us do this important work today and every day. Time maybe for a few letters. GEF grant made play inclusive. I'm writing to share my appreciation for the Gloucester Education Foundation and its support of the fifth grade play at West Parish Elementary School. Thanks to a grant awarded to the Art Room, this year's production of Willy Wonka Kids was not only a success on stage, but an inclusive and engaging experience behind the scenes. Having volunteered with the play over 2 years, I found this year's experience notably different. Funding for art teacher Lauren Grace created new opportunities for students to participate in ways that match their interests and strength. While the play has always been exciting, some students previously struggled to find their place. The addition of the art program has changed that. Students not drawn to performing can contribute through set design, costumes, and other hands-on work. I watched students learn sewing, pattern making, and theatrical design while creating sets and props. Under Miss Grace's guidance, their ideas came to life, from initial sketches to custom-fit Oompa Loompa costumes. As someone who learned to sew at O'Malley years ago, this felt like a meaningful, full-circle moment. While the performances were wonderful, the greatest impact was the pride and skills students gained. Programs like this highlight the importance of arts education in fostering creativity, confidence, and inclusion. I'm grateful to GEF for its support and encourage continued investment in arts programming so all students can find their place and thrive. Written by Kylie Davis of Gloucester. America needs health care for all. There is no better example than our health care system, which provides only partial coverage for many, none for millions, produces no better outcomes, and costs twice as much as other countries. One reason we have not attained care for our whole population is the individual mindset: if I have coverage, why should I care if others do not? In my 42-year and family practice, many times my patients were negatively impacted by deficiencies in the system. We all benefit from a healthy America. We need a government-sponsored health care program for all. Please, let's move forward toward the common good. It's written by Appleton Mason, MD of Beverly. Thanks for listening. Please be sure to join us again tomorrow for another edition of the Gloucester Daily Times. Have a great evening.